Hi there, everybody. This is Pastor AJ from South Granville. I hope you and your family are well and safe as you continue to ride out this corona quarantine period. So I want to say thank you for joining me for another podcast devotional. And today, what I want to do is I want to shift gears for a little bit. The last several weeks, we've gone through a number of different prayer exercises that you could be doing in order to really engage with God. And over the next few weeks, what I want to do is I want to just talk a little bit more in depth about some of the different habits or practices that we can be working on while we're in this time of isolation. You know, as of now, I'm recording this on Monday, the 20th. It looks like it's going to be a number of weeks, if not even months, before we're back together as a whole church. And while there might be some in-between steps there, the reality is that we're kind of in this for the long haul. And regardless of whether you are really, really busy and stressed out, or you find yourself with more time than you even care to deal with, right now, this is a good time for all of us to kind of come back to some of the core habits or disciplines that mark the life of a follower of Jesus. This is an opportunity for us to kind of build up our foundation, to strengthen our relationship with God, and really find ways to engage with Him and allow Him to kind of compensate for some of the things that we're missing out. And I want to say that while all of these things are practices that we can do independently, there's no reason why we can't be walking through some of this material or practicing these things together with either our families, if you have people in your home with you, or even to, you know, have one or two people that you're talking with during the week, maybe even to do an online Zoom small group or something, just to continue finding ways to practice your relationship with God together in community as well as on your own. So the next several weeks, we're going to go through some different habits or practices. And today, I want to start with one of the most basic, which is reading the Bible. Some of us have had a kind of a mixed relationship with Scripture, if we're being honest. Maybe you have wanted to read the Bible more frequently for a long time. Or maybe you're one of those people who every year you kind of start a read the Bible in a year plan, and typically by February or March, you start to get into Leviticus and you think, I'm going to do something else. Some of us want to read the Bible more. Some of us want to read the Bible more. And for some of us, it's kind of a new idea and we're curious, but we're not even really sure where to get started. You know, if you have not been a lifelong Christian, the first time you open a Bible and you see all of this really small text and these strange names and places that you're not familiar with, it can be a little bit intimidating or off-putting. And so what I want to do today is I want to share a little bit about why we read the Bible, what it is that we're doing as we kind of engage in this habit. I want to talk about a few different ways that you can creatively open Scripture, either alone or with others. And then at the end, I'll share some strategies for how you can make reading the Bible more of a habit or a regular practice in your life. So let's start with the idea of what the Bible is. You might hear different people talking about Scripture as, you know, a historical record, or maybe thinking that those are teachings that have been passed down over generations and thus have been kind of altered or changed over time. But when we read Scripture, we believe that we are reading the Word of God, that this is God's instruction and encouragement to His people. And in our tradition in the Reformed Church, we use this term called organic inspiration to describe the Bible. We believe that it was given to us by God, but it didn't just fall out of the sky in these stone tablets, and it's not a book that was originally written in English. Instead, God inspired real people, flesh and blood people who lived in particular cultures and circumstances with a history and a language, and all of that comes into play when we are trying to understand what the Bible says. And so we want to be thoughtful. We want to understand who the author was, what their original intentions were, who were they writing to or speaking to, and how does that shape the way that they told these stories or gave these teachings. But ultimately, you know, the Bible doesn't have to be a super complicated thing. We can hear this as a word that God has spoken to his people in all times and places. And it's meant to both encourage us and challenge us as we continue to grow in faith. There's a great verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that says this: all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's hard to imagine a faith walk where you're not regularly engaging in scripture, because as 2 Timothy says, it is part of the way that we learn God's will. It's part of the way that we are taught and challenged by knowing more of who God is and how he has specifically called us to live. And so a wise person, a faithful person, is someone who really values the Bible and wants to spend time with it. Psalm 1 begins by saying this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. As people of God, we are meant to love and appreciate the Bible and really desire to spend time with it. But one of the obstacles for us in the 21st century church is that oftentimes reading the Bible has been like reduced to an item on your spiritual to-do list. So sometimes that actually has the opposite effect of keeping us away, because we see it as an obligation. We think of reading scripture as a thing that we have to do in order to, you know, stay on God's good side, or to somehow make up for our sin or our lack of faith in some other area. And when you think about it that way, it becomes an obligation, right? Reading the Bible becomes just another chore, like doing the dishes or taking your dog for a walk. Sometimes you maybe don't mind it as much as other times, but ultimately it's just a thing that you have to do. And instead, I want us at South Granville to really see the gift and the privilege that comes from owning a copy of the Bible, that this is an opportunity for us to spend time with God. This is the way that he speaks to us. This is the way that he gives us language to speak to him. This is the way that he informs us of the salvation story. He shapes our worldview and gives us hope for the future, regardless of what we're experiencing. The Bible is really about strengthening our relationship with God. And I think if we thought of reading scripture more as spending time with him, you know, the way you would spend time with a friend or a beloved family member, at least before the coronavirus, then that helps us to think about the Bible in more affirming terms, and I think gives us a greater encouragement and a greater incentive to want to sit down and read it. So it's okay to acknowledge that some of it is confusing. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to read something and even think to yourself, I'm not sure I believe that. But when you open scripture, I think the most important thing I would want you to understand is that this is a way that you are encountering the living God, that the personal God who loves you and saved you through Jesus' work on the cross often has a word for you, that he has something he wants to communicate with you, and that when you read scripture, you are allowing him to fill your mind and your heart with his truth, to know him and know his will all the more. Okay, so maybe you're thinking, boy, all of that sounds great, but one of the things that keeps me back is that I don't actually know what to do with this book. I know I'm supposed to read it, but oftentimes I sit down, I look at it for a couple minutes, I feel lost, I'm confused or bored, and then I put it away. So what I want to do is I want to talk for a minute about some of the different ways that we can engage with scripture, that when you sit down to read it, there are a number of different ways that you can approach it, or things that you can do in order to keep your mind and your heart engaged, so it doesn't just become this passive thing that you're doing, again, to kind of check it off of your list. So one way to stay engaged with scripture when you're reading is to keep a piece of paper next to you. And when you finish reading a story or a passage, to just kind of go through and rewrite it in your own words. That helps reinforce what you're learning and also challenges you to see if you really actually understand it. So a very simple thing you can do is just take that story and try to put it in your own words or practice explaining it to somebody in your house, because that will force you to really engage with it more deeply and decide whether or not you really understand what's going on. Another thing that you can do is the practice of Lectio Divina, which we did all the way back in the very first podcast after the shelter-in-place orders went into effect. So if you remember, that's a way of reading scripture where you are kind of praying through it. You're thinking about what God is saying to you, what's jumping out to you, and then you're thinking about your circumstances and what that might mean. What is it that God is trying to say, or how is he trying to get your attention? So there are lots of resources online about Lectio Divina, but you can also go back to that first Shelter in Place podcast as a good example of how you can walk through a scripture passage more prayerfully. Another thing that you can do is what's called the coma method, which comes from a great book called One-to-One Bible Reading, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes underneath the podcast. So this is a way of just asking a series of questions about whatever passage that you're reading. The C in coma stands for context. So who is it that's writing this passage? Who are they writing to? What happens before and after this story? What are, you know, the characters' motivations? What is it that's informing why this story was written the way that it's written? And that's where, you know, online resources or even a good study Bible can be really helpful in getting to understand some of those things better. Then the O in coma stands for observation. What are the main points that you're observing in this story or this passage? What is it that surprises you? What are some of the key words that get repeated? What are you noticing on your first or second read through? Then M stands for meaning, and this is where you really start to ask, what is the heart of this story or this passage? What is the point? What is it trying to teach us about who God is or how he relates to his people? What is the connection between this story and the overall gospel? How does this story inform my understanding of Jesus or the Holy Spirit or why God is bringing salvation to the creation? With the meaning section, you're really trying to ask, what is the point? Why is this included? So that you can do the work of the last letter, which is A for application. So there you start to think about, what does this meaning now mean for me as a doctor or a stay-at-home mom or a volunteer in the church? How do I take this lesson or this teaching about who God is and how he's calling us to live and now apply it to my own unique circumstances? Is there something God is asking me to do? Is there something God is asking me to say? Is there some way that I need to change the way that I'm living in light of what I'm reading in Scripture? So that's like a general framework. You don't have to follow that exactly every single time, but I think you get the idea that when you sit down, if you are asking questions or taking notes, if you're doing something intentionally, you're going to engage with the passage in a deeper and richer way. Okay, so lastly, what I want to do is share just a few suggestions for how to make reading the Bible more of a regular habit in your life. Because whether you are a lifelong Christian or a new believer trying to figure things out, we all kind of go through these up and down periods where sometimes it feels very easy and very natural to spend time with Scripture on a regular basis. And sometimes it's just like pulling teeth. It just can be so difficult to get into a routine for any number of reasons. And I think that's especially true right now when maybe you've got kids home all the time or your schedule has been disrupted and you're just kind of out of your regular routine. So here's a few suggestions. They're unscientific, but they're just things that I have found to be helpful over the years, and you're welcome to take them for whatever they're worth to you. So the first thing I would say is to start small. You know, any habit that we're trying to develop works better when we start with something manageable, right? Where you recognize where you actually are and then continue to take slow but intentional and incremental steps towards getting better. So I like to use the analogy of a couch to 5K program, if you're familiar with that. I'm a runner, and I've seen a number of these where you go from not really doing any exercise or certainly not running to slowly working your way up to do a 5K. So if you haven't been doing anything, you don't start by running the fastest 5K that you can. You start by walking, maybe for a mile and a half. And then after a few days, you add a little bit of length. And then after a few more days, you add a little bit of length. And then maybe in a couple of weeks, you begin to mix, you know, 30 seconds of jogging in and then a minute of walking. You are slowly building yourself up in order to achieve this goal. And I think the spiritual life is exactly the same. We can't expect ourselves to go from not really reading the Bible ever to trying to sit down and read for an hour every single day. That's just not very realistic, and it's a recipe for frustration and then to give up and start the whole cycle all over. So instead, I encourage you to just recognize where you are and start small. Maybe for you, it would be a win to open the Bible 5 minutes a day. Even if you don't feel like you're getting much out of it, even if you don't feel like you really understand it, just to begin to develop that small habit of actually spending time with it. Or maybe for you, it's more 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Maybe it's, you know, I can sit with the Bible, but I need to be a little more engaged. So I'm going to start taking some notes, or I'm going to start going through some of these questions, finding where you are and then saying, what's a small step forward? What is one thing that I can work on over the next couple of weeks that's going to make that better? Second, I would say it's really helpful to create cues for yourself, you know, ways that you are kind of training yourself to expect to spend time with God. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to kind of plan to do it around the same time every day. Maybe it's, you know, with your morning coffee. Maybe it's after your kids go to bed at night. Maybe, you know, it's right after lunch if you've got an open schedule. But finding a way to kind of cue yourself and say, okay, when this happens or it's this time of day, that is when I expect to open Scripture. Because that's a really key way that we form habits is by, you know, associating a certain behavior with certain times of day or other behaviors that we're already doing. So as an example of this, when I was doing college ministry, there was a guy in one of my small groups who was trying to read the Bible more often, and he was doing a program that he called No Bible, No Breakfast. So what that meant was that he was waking up, and he expected to read the Bible before he had breakfast. And if he didn't do it, or if he slept in, then he wasn't allowing himself to have breakfast. He would just get ready and go to class and work and whatever else he was doing. And while that seems like a good idea, I think it's actually kind of self-destructive in a way, because what he was doing was punishing himself for not following through instead of beginning to develop a habit and a routine with positive associations. And so in my own life, one of the things that I do is I do Bible with breakfast. I intentionally expect to read Scripture while I'm eating breakfast. And that association of doing those things together has helped me keep a more regular routine of reading the Bible. It's not perfect, and there are plenty of mornings when we've had a tough night with the kids or I'm just distracted and I open the Bible and I don't feel like I'm getting a ton out of it. But developing that association or that cue over time has helped me to maintain a consistent habit even when a lot of other things in our lives have changed. Okay, so number three is to have a plan. And I'll admit that for me, over the last 6 weeks or so, this has been kind of a struggle. You will typically do better at reading Scripture when you have a plan and you know what it is that you're supposed to be reading. So whether you are picking one of the Gospels or saying, I'm going to read through the New Testament, or I'm going to do one of those Bible in a year plans, it is just so helpful to have that thing in the morning or in the evening, whenever it is that you want to read Scripture, and say, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do today. I have a goal that I'm going to read one chapter, or I'm going to read the Psalms for 10 minutes, or whatever it might be. Because what happens is you end up using time and energy when you sit down and you say, okay, what should I read? What is going to help me in these circumstances? And you can end up jumping around and it's harder to get a sense of the context of what you're reading. It's harder to see the connections of what you're reading. And it ends up becoming a more frustrating experience. So having a plan going in, even if it's just a small goal, is really, really important. And if you are new to the Bible, I would really encourage you, start by reading the four Gospels. That is a great place to start. You will experience a whole bunch of teachings about a whole bunch of different topics, and you'll get to see how Jesus not only taught, but most importantly, lived as one who's in relationship with God. So that's the third one. Number four would be to talk to someone about your habit or your desire to spend more time in Scripture. Maybe you've heard people in the past talk about having an accountability partner. And the idea is the same, that you want to identify someone who is going to help keep you accountable by asking you about what you're doing, and then also encouraging you and motivating you when you're not feeling motivated on your own. So if you're living with family right now, it might be that a spouse or a parent is someone who can help you. And maybe you say, look, every Friday, let's have lunch and we'll talk about what we've been reading this week. If you're on your own or you just want to talk to somebody who's not in your family, it can be great to have a friend or even a relative who you trust and just say, look, can we call each other once a week? Can we have an email conversation? Can you just ask me what I'm reading and how often I'm doing it, and I'll do the same for you? And again, the idea is that having that kind of spoken goal and that external motivation is going to help you on those days where it's hard or you just want to sleep in and you're just not feeling particularly interested in doing it on your own. And then lastly, number five, I would say be okay with a B. You know, we often want to have these really profound, amazing experiences with God. And sometimes there's this expectation that you're going to open the Bible and it's, you know, going to start on fire and start talking to you. And you're going to have this really profound experience of God's presence. Now, occasionally something like that does happen, but most of the time, you'll read a piece of scripture. You may easily see how it applies to you or not. And then you kind of move on with your day. But the idea is that even when, you know, we don't feel like we're getting a lot out of it or we're not really sure what that passage is saying or what it's supposed to mean, we are laying a foundation in our relationship with God. We are learning who He is. We are learning how He's called us to live. And over time, that habit builds and builds and makes us stronger. It gives us deeper roots in our relationship with Christ. And so, you know, you want the A, you want that really great experience, but, you know, if you are just getting through this week because things have been really tough, if you are tired and you're not sleeping well, if you are new or maybe not new and just feeling confused by what you're reading, don't give up. Don't feel like that's a failure and don't feel like it has to be this crazy profound experience every time. Be okay with a B. Be okay with just showing up and letting it be whatever it is that day, and trust that God is going to use that in ways seen and unseen, even if you're not really sure right now. So before we go, I want to just share a few other resources that you may find helpful. The idea for this series actually was shamelessly stolen from Pastor J.D. Greer, someone who I reference periodically. And his church, the Summit Church, is doing a similar series where they are talking about different habits or practices of Christian disciples. So if you look him up on Twitter or go to Summit Church website, they've got more resources for each of these different practices that might be helpful to you as well. Also, if you're looking for something to read during this quarantine time, I can make a few recommendations. So there's a book that I found really helpful called One-to-One Bible Reading, and that's by David Helm, and that discusses that coma method of asking questions of Scripture in depth, and also how to do that with other people. If there's somebody in your life who's asking spiritual questions or just looking to engage with God in a deeper way, that can be a really great resource. Another one is the book Multiply, Disciples Making Disciples. And that's by Francis Chan and a couple of other guys who contributed. And that is a really great resource for looking at the big picture story of Scripture. So it's got these different lessons that kind of walk through different aspects of the Old Testament and New Testament story. But then in the first half of the book, there's a lot of information in there about what the Bible is, how to read the Bible, and that's a great resource, again, for either new Christians or somebody who is just looking to take it more seriously. One other book I want to recommend, it's not a Christian book, but it's the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. And my wife and I read this book a couple of years ago and really found it to be helpful in thinking about some of our own habits and things that we wanted to change and improve in our lives. So that is a great book, not only for applying to your spiritual life, but really just in general. And one of the things that I love in that book is that he tells a story about the UK cycling team and their desire to get better after kind of being a bad team for like 100 years. And they got this new coach who started focusing on how to make the team 1% better every day. So looking at all these different little habits and tweaks and decisions that over time added up to significant change. And I think that is a perfect illustration, not only for what we're trying to do as a church, but what we're trying to do in our own lives, to ask how we can get 1% better, how we can grow just a little bit closer to God, to hear him just a little more clearly, or have the courage to follow his leading just a little more faithfully every day. So if you have questions about any of this, I would be happy to have a conversation with you. You are welcome to contact the church office or send me an email, pastoraj@southgranvillechurch.org. If you found this podcast to be helpful, please continue to share it, send it in an email to a relative, put it on your Facebook page, and help us continue to spread the word about South Granville and the things that God is doing here, even in the midst of this uncertain time. So friends, I hope that you are able to go in peace, to love and serve the Lord, knowing that he is with you no matter what it is that lies ahead.